long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning here with Robin Walter on the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Boy, what a week. And you know, I have to tell you, I couldn't stay away from the message that I have to do, because it's on everybody's mind who watched the inaugural, and that is the question, did God pick Donald Trump? Well, this is not a political. You want to hear the politics of things? That's, you know, that's on the other program, the Robin Walter Show, which you can pick up podcasts and however you. Well, I won't even get into that. Those of you who listen, you know how to do it. But this is biblical, and how do you determine when it's of God? When it comes to our rulers, our leaders, our kings. In some places, I wouldn't say he's a king, but he's a ruler. All things. There are those who are more kings than they are presidents, but because they're not elected, right? And there is not a given form of government in Scripture. Now, there's a clue, and I want to start with this right after the prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God. I personally give you thanks and praise for how the election went and the beauty of the inaugural, Lord God. Father, I sat there almost in tears, Lord, when they started to play Great is Thy Faithfulness after they finished a great hymn before that. And then the words of Franklin Graham, and then the words of that Lorenzo Sewell, that Holy Ghost-filled preacher from Detroit who just uncorked. And that rotunda hadn't seen that and been filled with that kind of spirit in a long time. So all I can do is just give you praise and thanksgiving and to you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have some guidance in Scripture as to how certainly a government can be formed. But it's not how it must be formed, because God has used kings. I mean, David, great king, Josiah, those kings, they didn't get there because they won the Electoral College. No, they were selected. And there is the passage which you have heard me share before, so I won't go into detail on it, but it comes out of Exodus chapter 18. You might want to write down a couple of these passages because I think they'll be instructive. But Exodus chapter 18, where the Lord says that, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, and hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of the thousands, but rulers of the hundreds and of the fifties, and rulers of tens. And so what this tells me is that the ideal candidate, and have we ever had one? Well, I don't know. It's a question of how close to the ideal you can get, is a designation of the qualifications for office from the very highest right on down to dog catcher, which we had in Michigan. But those three requirements, to fear God, to be a man of truth, and to hate covetousness. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of that because I covered it in a previous program, actually in some length, in examining the two candidates on that basis. But does that always mean that if the person, one person beats the other one, so to speak, using competitive terms, that that's God's pick? Well, not necessarily, because there are issues where we have a role to play based upon the qualifications of people and the prayer that goes in to God's sovereignty, because he has a plan that is maybe bigger than what we envision. And sometimes we don't get what we want because, well, Madison said, you get the government you deserve. And that's true because I'm going to show that to you in just a minute. Yes, God is sovereign, and yet he gives us the government we deserve. And so we have a role to play in this. In the passage, which I have also shared some time ago, but a long time ago, comes out of 1 Samuel chapter 8. In this passage, Israel has been ruled by judges. And the last one was Samuel. Samuel was old, and his sons were bad. His sons were no good. He was maybe a great prophet, but it does not appear that he was a great father. Because it says in verse 3 of chapter 8, his sons walked not in their father's way, but turned aside after lucre. They took bribes, and they perverted judgment. So all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and said unto him, behold, you're old, your sons walk not in the ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now you see, Samuel wasn't trying to make a case for his sons. His sons were, frankly, no good. But what he was making a case for was that it should be a prophet that would be a judge and not a king. In other words, he was saying his position was there should be a spiritual ruler that's in charge of Israel, not a secular ruler, so to speak. At least that's the way that I take it. So the Lord tells them to do what they want. And according to all the works which they have done since the day which I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day where they have forsaken me, and they've served other gods, so do they also unto thee. So God is saying, these people are worshiping false gods. You are in charge, Samuel, have been, but that doesn't alter the fact that the people do not share your love of me. So he says, now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that is going to reign over them. You see, God's not in favor of this. It's not his will. He makes that, but they've rejected the idea of having a prophet as their ruler and want a king. It's a different kind of an office. It's a secular office. And Samuel told all the words of the people, told all the words of the Lord unto the people and asked for a king. And he said, this will be the kind of king that's going to rule over you. He's going to take your sons and appoint them for himself or his chariots and to be his horsemen. And he goes through a long list of things where the king is basically going to tax them. They've never been taxed. He's going to take the best bakers. He's going to take the best of everything from private life, and he's going to use it to support his kingdom. And when with a tax, it's going to be burdensome. And he ends up here, when you shall take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nah, but we'll have a king rule over us, that we may be like all the other nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. But he goes on to say here, but the day will come when they are going to cry out, and God will not hear them. Now, they wanted a man after the flesh, because they were into the flesh. They were worshiping false gods. Why would you want a righteous judge when you yourselves are unrighteous and you're serving the flesh? And so they wanted, and Saul was a perfect guy, tall, dark, handsome. Let him fight our battles. Who cares how much he taxes us? But he's going to be a burden. And then God says, look, you know, when they're going to cry out someday, and I don't hear them. But my point here is that God gave them the government they deserve. God gave them the government they wanted because they wanted a king after the flesh, not after the spirit. And he obliged. Now, did God pick Samuel? Absolutely. But he picked somebody that without question would meet their fleshly desires. He would, like I said, tall, dark, and handsome, fighter, battles, oh, this is everything we want. And of course, Israel paid the price for that. So understanding here that one of the principles regarding who we get is a feature of who we want, along with who we do, and who we want sometimes is a feature of what we deserve. If we want somebody bad, we'll get somebody bad. If we want somebody really good, and there's prayer that goes into it, there's other passages that says, you know, if a nation which has kind of been on evil, going the wrong way, repents, I will repent from the evil that I was otherwise going to do unto that nation. So I cannot for a second more underscore the importance of the prayer that went up on behalf of Mr. Trump. The people that supported the other side, I got to tell you, I haven't met a serious Christian that voted for Kamala Harris. Maybe they're out there, maybe they're foolish, maybe they don't listen, maybe they don't care, maybe they're reckless. Maybe they're listening to too much MSNBC and so forth. But there is a lot of prayer that went up for this man. After all, that preacher, Lorenzo Sewell from Detroit, I loved his prayer. Oh, my gosh. Like I said, if I ever move back to Michigan, I want to go to his church. But when he talked about the millimeter miracle, how could God not be in it with a shot that would have killed him had not the absolute time of its being fired, Trump turns his head. Now you say, well, a bullet travels faster than that. Well, shot from the distance it doesn't get that far in the brief moment of Trump turning his head. I mean, it was kind of an ordained thing. So with that, maybe as a companion reference here, Deuteronomy 28 mentions all the things that will happen when a nation obeys God, and then all the things bad that will happen when a nation rebels and is focused on sin. And in one, they get good leadership, and it's prosperous. The other one, just the opposite. So God does respond to that, and I'm not taking away his sovereignty. Because his sovereignty rules over all, but his sovereignty doesn't violate the principles he's laid down. It just may not come about the way that we think that it should. I mean, as an example, did we not think that Donald Trump would be elected for the second term 4 years ago? We all thought that. Everybody was praying. I know a lot of people that prayed. Maybe not enough. Certainly not enough that voted. And yet, look at the blessing for him not having won that term of office. Yeah, in the 4 years intervening, we got the government we deserved. We did. Bad, evil, wicked. And it got bad enough that enough people across various denominations, some of no religion at all, across all races, started to support a man because it was just that bad. There's got to be something better. And they saw in the blue-collar billionaire, I love that term, the man worth tons but can relate to the everyday person, where some of the everyday people in politics want to act like the king that they aren't. Well, I want to go on from here. Because after 1 Samuel 8, you get the king that you deserve that you want, and you tend to want the one you kind of deserve, although people wanted things before but didn't put the prayer into it. and it had to get worse before God would bless him. But in Proverbs 21:1, and this may serve as much as a post-election verse as a pre-election verse. It says there that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it wheresoever he desires. You know, God put things into the heart of Cyrus to be a friend and a blessing to the children of Israel in Babylon. He used Nebuchadnezzar. These are two that were pagans. And God put it in their heart to do things that served his purpose in the blessing of the Hebrew children after they were punished for supreme disobedience. So God took them to the woodshed, 70 years in Babylon, and then gave favor to those who were in charge of the woodshed to send them back to Israel and bless them in so doing. These are sovereign acts. I mean, it's part of a plan of God that seems to be a little bit outside of our reach of prayer, other than he may show us who to pray for. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I get that totally. So there's a sovereignty role here. And he says he turns their hearts like the rivers of water. And that's probably why we should not cease praying for people with whom we severely disagree. And I have to tell you, this is one of my Achilles' heels. People say, well, do you pray for Kamala Harris? Yeah, sure, that she would walk out in front of a speeding Kenworth truck. I pray that. Well, not really. I didn't pray that, but that's sort of my attitude. I think you get the point. The fact is they're separated from God. They're really lost. They're stuck in a world of evil, surrounded by people who don't want them saved. Like that one person who tried, I forgot what the name of the Roman leader was, that there was that person, I think it's in the book of Acts, that didn't want them to get saved and tried to prevent the gospel from getting to them. Well, no doubt that that's happened. And there, you know, and during the inauguration ceremony, while Biden was a disheveled mess and Bill Clinton couldn't seem to close his mouth, maybe he's looking at too many nice girls, I don't know, and Hillary Clinton is stonewall poker-faced until Trump talks about renaming the Gulf of Mexico, and then she bursts out in this kind of hideous laugh, which everybody thinks is really great. But Kamala Harris seemed to have times during that ceremony. I don't know if it was remorse or if it was repentance. And there is a difference. One sort of remorse is you're sorry you got caught. And repentance is you're sorry for what you did. But she had her hand over the heart during the battle hymn of the Republic. Maybe it was staged. I don't know. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. You know, she comes from this combination of Indian and Jamaican ancestry. I know a lot of Jamaicans. There are a ton of godly Jamaican people. The worship of our Lord is a big thing in Jamaica. Now, that island is filled with a ton of crime. But it's not because it's an island of all criminals. There are some great churches in the Bahamas, generally, in Jamaica specifically. And so I'm thinking, well, I got to pray for her. I can't wish the worst on her. After all, Scripture says if you wish the worst on your enemies, even though they're deserving of judgment, God will change his mind and not judge them like he planned to if you're going to wish the worst upon them. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lesson I am continually having to learn, continually. So the king's heart can be turned. Harris's heart could be turned. Biden's, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think so. He's not only gone mentally, but he's been so awful in defaming God. Always it's GD this and GD that and F-bombs and all the thing he proposes, and at the same time faking to be a Christian. I think the guy's toast. I actually don't pray for him. And there are four places in Scripture, four, where God tells us, tells whoever he's speaking to that point, do not pray for this other person. Do not. You think that's pretty harsh? Well, what that is, I mean, your prayer is wasted and God's sentence against that man or woman has been determined, and he is not going to change his mind because he knows they aren't going to change. And that's why it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, God, deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men, which I would think probably includes women, because we got to do equal time here, right? So there is this feature of God's sovereignty that has to kind of stand next to God's will for the people, not that any should perish, not that we would live under ungodly rule and we have abortions and we have all this sodomy and all this stuff, which is just so incredibly wicked. But when we choose wickedness, then his hand moves to raise up a different kind of king, doesn't it? A leader that will become a burden and a problem like Biden was. Yeah, God selected Biden because the people did not have a heart for anything other than what he was saying. And what he did really reflected the heart of the people at the time in 2020. And that was that it was that they sought not a righteous person, a good person. However you describe Donald Trump, he was better than Joe Biden, morally and in every way. Even though he's on his third marriage, a lot of that stuff happened a long time ago. And always, always remember, and I'm speaking to myself, there's one business God is in, and that's the redemption business. And so people can be redeemed. I've seen this heart change in Trump. All I have seen from Biden was more and more use of profanity and taking the Lord's name in vain and hideous things from the pit of hell that he's advocating. So there's one other thing that I want to mention here, because, gosh, the time just passes so fast here. I can't believe it. In 1 Samuel, sticking with 1 Samuel, and in chapter 16, it says, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Now, Saul was God's pick as a result of the Hebrews wanting a man after the flesh. And Samuel loves Saul. But he said, how long are you going to mourn for the guy? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, now fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for me a king among his sons. God has selected his man. Well, his man was David. And when you see God's providential role here, sometimes the king is the result of what we have sincerely desired and prayed for. Sometimes the king is the result of our actions of rebellion towards God. And sometimes neither one is necessarily involved, but it's what God has in store for the future that he raises up somebody specifically. I mean, Israel wasn't wallowing in sin necessarily at this point, nor were they particularly righteous. However, in this particular case, God selected a man after his own heart to be king, who he knew would lead the nation of Israel into a time of righteousness and success and service to the Lord. So there are those sovereign acts where, okay, this is a man, the nation hasn't done well, but this is a man I'm choosing because he is going to be a factor in leading them in the right direction. Now, Donald Trump is not King David, but I ask myself the question, and I'm going to answer the question that I've asked myself. Was Donald Trump chosen by God? And it's not a case where I'm 70, 80, 90, or 99% sure. It's 100%. When he gives glory to God, when he stands up there and says, I was saved because I have a role to play. I have a job to do. And yeah, he describes it as make America great again. And if we do the right thing, America will be great. But it's sort of like, will America be righteous again? And if it will, it will be great again. But he's got so many things that are godly that he wants to do. I loved when he stood up and said, official policy of the government. There's only two genders, male and female. And I was glad that he didn't add the tagline onto that, because all the other genders have been invented by Democrats. No, he just left it at that. There's a male and female, that's a policy of the government. Man alive. What a breath of fresh air to have somebody speak truth. Even though that person's heart is maybe not perfect before God, I don't know where he stands in his salvation, but I know at the very least he's searching, and he's an incredible listener. Oh my gosh. What I saw the other day in the evening signing those executive orders, how he could be signing these orders and taking multiple questions. One of the few guys I've ever run into, so to speak, that can actually multitask and multitask. And compassionate, calm, deliberate, sensitive, common sense. And he just has one goal. He's this country has been so good. I don't want it to stop being good. He's the best friend Israel has had in the White House in 77 years. I'll give the nod to Harry Truman because he was involved in the creation of the state of Israel. That's pretty big. There hasn't been a friend of Israel like Donald Trump since. And those who bless Israel, God will bless. That's all over the Old Testament, multiple places that makes that clear. And God is God's going to bless us because he's blessing them. And people say, well, gosh, you know, he wants to take Greenland. Well, why does he want Greenland? Because it'll make it easier to defend Western Europe. It'll actually make it easier, ultimately, to defend more of the world against attacks by people that hate us, most of all, that hate our way of life. So was he chosen by God? Yes, the millimeter miracle and all the other things. Boy, oh boy, the spiritual acceleration in that inaugural, it reached a crescendo when it got to Lorenzo Sewell, that Holy Ghost tent meeting revival preacher out of Detroit. Man alive, there is no way he would have been doing a benediction for the other party. Was not going to happen. So you have the man that God has picked. It's partly a result of his plans for the future in Israel, partly a result of our prayers and our desire to be once again one nation, a righteous nation under God. Having said all that, absolutely do not quit praying for him and for this country. Please listen to this.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Hey, God bless you for tuning in. I love doing this. I hope you love hearing it. And next week we'll be just covering some more topics that are important from the Bible. God bless you.